kind of a new sugya. It's going to hook in to the sugya we've been doing, but I think let us ignore that and let us just take this sugya in its own right, and then we'll, you know, maybe later today or next week we'll hook it into our sugya. So for now, it'll be a brand new question. Okay, let's not bias ourselves to anything, okay? So basic case is like this, is that, again, a nida. So the halacha of a nida has two nafkaminas, two practical applications of a woman who's a nida. One is vis-a-vis tuma and taira, that a nida is tameh, she's not allowed to eat kadshim. If she eats kadshim, she's chayav misa v'deshanayim. Okay, if she touches, there's all kinds of halachas of tuma and taira. And there's another halacha is that a nida is asur to her husband. Okay, it's asur, is her bia to a nida. Okay, that's Isser Karis. Okay, fine. Now the question is, and now which one is more chamor? Sleeping with a nido or a nido who's tameh eating something tameh? So the Gemara Rashi says, the Gemara implies that the Karis is worse than Misa Deshmaim. Karis is more chamor. Okay, so in theory, the Isser Bia with a nido is more chamor than the Isser of a nido eating kachem. So now the question is like this, is let's say a woman who's a nida goes in the mikvah like by accident. Like she falls in. Something to that effect. Okay? She falls into the mikvah. Right? Okay. So, or she just goes in to cool off, and she doesn't know anything about it. She's going to cool off, and then she comes out, and she realizes, oh, I went in the mikvah. Right? Fine. So the question is, does it work? Okay, she has no kavana for taira, for mikvah. She just goes, whatever, she's just going in the mikvah. She's going underwater, she's going swimming. Turns out, there's a beach, and there's an ocean, and turns out, look, so does it work? So, everyone agrees that vis-a-vis kudgeon, it does not work. Okay, it doesn't work. Vis-a-vis kudgeon, okay, you need kavan. Okay? You need kavan. But, the machlokas is, the machlokas is the opposite. Is vis-a-vis her bias, vis-a-vis her husband, vis-a-vis the Serbia. Do you say that also needs kavana, and without kavana it's not going to work? Or do you say, no, that, she's tahar. She's tahar vis-a-vis her husband, she's tame vis-a-vis tamadaira. Which right away is interesting. You see, apparently the two shame nidas are separable. Right? You see, you could be nida vis-a-vis one, not nida vis-a-vis the other. Right, at least according to that shita. Right? So, again, but vis-a-vis Tuma and Taira, everyone agrees you need Kavana, and it doesn't work if it's by accident, if it's that Kavana. Vis-a-vis what we'll call Chulen, vis-a-vis not Kajim, a Chulen, like Isser Adar, that's a Machlokas. That's a Machlokas. So, a Rav, Rabbi Yoram Rav says she's Mutter to her husband, and Rabbi Yochanan says no. He's also to us with the husband. The Gemara says, hold on a second. Which one's more chamor? Question on Rav. Which one's more chamor? The Isser Bia with Anida is Kares. And the Isser of Achila with Betame is an Isser of Deshmaim. Kamis Deshmaim is last chamor. So how could it be that it's going to be Matar vis a vis the Isser chamor, but not vis a vis Isser Kal? Slam and Aleph and Aleph. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because the Baal is a chulin question. It's not kudgem. And by chulin, you don't need kavana. Kudgem needs kavana. Chulin doesn't need kavana. So it's not a matter of the isser which results, being chamor or kal, but it's a matter of the nature of the phenomenon that we're talking about. Talking about her status vis-a-vis kudgem or her status vis-a-vis chulin. So, and then the isser, which results, is just a practical outcome of that status. But it's not because the nature, it's not that it works for a husband and doesn't work for kachim, because that's a lenient isser and that's a stringent isser. It's nothing to do with the isser, it has to do with the nature of the institution. So the nature of the institution of kachim is such that it needs kavana. But the nature of the institution of chulin, he argues, doesn't need kavana. Right? according to Rav. Apparently, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they both need kavana. Doesn't matter. Chulana and Kodesh both need kavana. So the question is, could we explain this? I guess the starting point would be to try to explain the sense of differentiating that Kodesh needs kavana and Chulana doesn't need kavana. Right? Seems to me like that's like at least the sharpest distinction here. Is, you know, you say everything needs kavana, so whatever you're saying, kavana, so everything doesn't need kavana, whatever. But you hear it like when you have like a distinction, whereas by kachim you need it, and by chulin you don't need it. So it might help us, you know, or it may point more towards developing a svara. You know, and then ultimately it would be nice to understand the machlokas, right? I mean, given that, why is it such that by kachim definitely needs kavana, and then what's the question whether by chulin also it does or it doesn't? Right? In the service, what does Kulna Kajra mean? Does Tefillah need Gavana? Does Tefillah not need Gavana? Right? I mean, Tefillah is a Maisa, which removes the status of Nida. Right? Does it need Gavana or not? I mean, what's Kajra or Kulna? What does that mean to do with it? It seems like that's what Jonah is asking, Mark mentioned this. There's a difference between Mitzvah's Gavana, specifically by Mitzvah, like a Kima Mitzvah. God's commanding you to do X. So then the question is, do you need kavana that you're doing that X? Or do you, if you don't have kavana, do you say, I'm not even doing a mitzvah, I'm just doing a ma'isachol? Or you say, no, you don't need kavana, whatever. But that's where you're trying to do a mitzvah, you're chayav to do a mitzvah. Here, there's no mitzvah per se to be tahar, or to be for meat to be kosher. It just there's a process of hechsher. There's an action which changes the status of something from kosher to treif, from tamei to tahar. So that type of an action, it's not doing, there's no kiyam ha-mitzvah, it's just you're creating a state in a chafza or in a gavra, whatever, you're changing them, their status. So the thing is, does that type of thing need kavana? So you're saying is, what Rav is claiming is when it's by kodshim, that needs kavana, but when it's by chulan, it doesn't. Right? But I don't think this has any bearing, or the sugya of mitzvah's kavana has any bearing on this. It's a different type of sugya. Okay, so maybe like this. I think this is the direction, Mark, that you're saying. Just want to maybe formulate it a little differently. But what's the... And maybe we'll have to change this as we go through this again a little bit. We'll just get started. What's the effect of tefillah vis-a-vis kachem? Right? And what's the effect vis-a-vis chulah? I'd say the effect vis-a-vis kachem is kedusha. Tyra, kedusha. It's like roi for kodesh, for lifnei Hashem, for eating kachem, for right, the estate is like a positive state. Tyra is like a positive state. It's a state which enables you to be fit for activities of kedusha. Enables the object to be designated to be Hashem, to be designated for Mikdash. That's what does it mean? It's Tahar. Tahar means it could go to the Mikdash. Right? So that's like a positive status of Kedusha and Taira. But when it comes to Chulin, what does it mean that a woman goes in the Mikvah? Does she have a positive status of Tahar? It means there's no Isser. It's more a removal of her Isser. Whereas there is no positive. In Kedusha, there's a positive. Kodshin, there's a positive state. But when it comes to Chulin, there is no positive status. It's just Chulin. It's Chol. So what are you accomplishing by going to the Mikvah? You're not creating anything. She doesn't have sanctity when she comes out of the Mikvah. She's simply mutter. What does that mean? She's now no longer prohibited. So it's like a removal. In Chulin, there is no positive status. It's just a removal of Isser. Removal of a negative status. Of a status of Isser. But when it comes to Kodshim, the same woman, when she goes in the mikvah, normal going to the mikvah, becomes no longer asar to her husband. Her iser is removed, and she becomes tar, really for mikdash. That's a positive. So she has a positive state vis-a-vis kadshim, and she's removed the negative state of iser vis-a-vis chulin. Chulin doesn't, it's chulin kadshim because chulin doesn't have a positive state. Chulin just is a removal of iser. But again, when it's when you deal with kadshim, you're bringing the thing closer to lefnei Hashem. Even if you're doing shchita of an animal makes it mutter. It's not even a chai, it's not nevela. But shchita and kadshim, it's machshir the carbon to be lefnei Hashem, to be on the mizbeach, to be involved in the carbon. So kadshim, the activity of kadshim brings about a positive chalos of kedusha and taira. Activity by chulin is a removal of a negative. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a chiddush. I mean, I'm not saying there that you conceptually you couldn't have looked at kadshim as just an absence, as just a nothing. That anyone's really fit to go into the mikdash, and now tumah is like a ma'akev, and you're just removing a negative. That would have, it's theoretically a possible way to look at it. But I'm saying that this halacha is telling you the opposite. I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. But I'm saying is that's my explanation here. That kadshim, the mikdash, demands someone who's designated, who's mukshar to go lefnei Hashem. You can't just go lefnei Hashem. You need to be mitayar. You need a state of tayra to go lefnei Hashem, to go into the mikdash. And you need you're not fit. You're not fit. You need a positive tayra. You need a positive state to be mafshi to go lefnei Hashem. And that's why you need kavana. That's what I'm trying to explain, is that when it comes to Taira, you're creating a positive status of Taira. Positive designation on the person or on the object. And that needs Kavana. See, if you're just removing something, so say, what removes the Tama? So it's the Tvila, removes the Tama. What do you have to, that's the Torah sets up a mechanical action, a Maisa that removes the Tama, and that's the Mikvah. So it goes in the Mikvah and it removes the Tama. But if you're trying to create a positive status, so the saying is you're not just doing a ma'isa tefila, but you're using the tefila to b'machshir you to be a tar, to be a lefnei Hashem. The saying is that's to create a positive, you need to engage that positive. Otherwise, it's just you could remove, but it's you can't create the positive status without engaging that. The saying is the nidos, the status of a nida, has like two types of effects on her. One is that it creates like a negative designation in her. She's removed from her husband. She's removed from Mikdash. But it's ma'akev, her positive status of Lefnei Hashem. So if she goes in the mikvah without das, it's enough to remove her negative. But it can't create a positive of Taira without her das. So it will make her allow her to sleep with her husband. It's not because she's no longer removed from her husband, but is it enough to bring her to the level of Taira that she's removed from Nida such that she's able to go to the Mikdash? Saying that it isn't. So it really is like a middle state where she's like removed the negative of Nida, but she hasn't created the positive state of Taira which is necessary to go into the Mikdash. That's an example. I mean, certain people, certain this thing in Mechusa Kippurim, thinking the Nida, I mean, a Zava and a Yoledas, and I forget who else. But there are people who basically, they become Tameh, and even when they remove their Taira, they're not really to go to the Mikdash yet. Or they're called Mechusa Kapara, and they have to bring a carbon. And the carbon brings them Lefnei Hashem and allows them to go, you know. But some people, some types of Tameh need that. What I'm saying is, even in the type of tuma which doesn't need a kapara and a carbon to bring lefnei Hashem, I'm saying that's the effect of the mikvah does that. Sufficient mikvah could bring them lefnei Hashem and could give them the status of kedusha and taira. But that needs das. That type of the status which is necessary to go lefnei Hashem is not just a removal; it's a positive status, and to do that. It needs kavana because you're doing is you're elevating the gavra to be a royal of Nedla Hashem. So that needs a positive designation. So the positive designation is not just through the Maisa, then you have to be involved in that designation. But in terms of the removal of the condition of Nidus, just removal of the Isser, so then the Mitzvah, so to speak, the Mikvah washes it away. The Maisa of the going in the Mikvah removes the negative. But to create a positive designation, so you have to engage that positive. I'm not sure if my distinction is really about the positive negative. I don't know if that's the way I'm saying it that way, but I don't know if that's the emphasis, the essence of the point. And the main point, I think, is the difference between Chulin and Kodshim. Is that Kodshim, the Chulin is almost like you can look at it as like a mechanistic thing. The Torah sets up a certain, like if a woman bleeds, she becomes Asar. And then you know the mikvah, that's a maisa, which removes the Asar. Right? It's like a very mechanistic thing. A thing has tam of Isser, then it's Asar. And then if you remove the tam, you even vatal it, then it's removed. It's like the framework of Isser Vahatar is like the Torah sets up technical mechanisms. And this creates Isser, and this creates Hatar. And the bleeding creates Tovah, creates Isser. And the mikvah is a matayr. And removes the Isser. But when it comes to Lifnei Hashem, to Kodshim, Kodshim is not just a mechanistic phenomenon, but it involves the Gavra being Lifnei Hashem and the status of being Roy for Lashem. And that is something which isn't purely mechanistic, but engages like the Das Adam. And it can't exist without Kavana. You can't say, well, there's Roy level of Lifnei Hashem because technically the action, this action was done to him. But it engages the Gavra, it engages the Das, and it needs Kavana. Because of what Kodshim is, Kodshim can't just be entered like by default because the technical Maisa was done to it. So the framework of Chulin could be a framework of mechanisms. And the Halachos could be set up and constructed as this mechanism creates a Heter. But the framework of Kodshim to bring a person to be Roi Lashem, to be Roi for Kedusha, he can't be Roi for Kedusha because this technical action occurred to him. It's because he engaged in this activity with his Das, the Kavana. Then the activity has to be like what you're saying. Mark, this is some more similar thing to what you're saying. But it's like he's engaged in a Maisei Adam of Tyra. He's pursued that. Like the Gavra is removing himself from the Tumah and entering the Lifnei Hashem through the Mikvah. Like the Mikvah is almost like the tool which the Gavra is using to approach Lifnei Hashem, to approach Kedusha, to approach Mikdash. So it has to be the Maisa HaGavra. It has to be the human action which involves Kavan. Whereas in Isser, it doesn't mean that it creates, removes. Isser is more just like a condition. It doesn't do it like the Gavra's Das and his state, Lifnei Hashem. It's just like there's a status of Isser and the status is removed. The Mikvah. And it goes in the Mikvah, it removes the status. But it's like, but the Kodshim is not just a status. There's like a reality of the Gavra's approach to the going of Lifnei Hashem. And that needs that you're going, the Gavra is actively going in the Mikvah and pursuing Tyra. So it needs to be the Maisa, which involves the Das Adam, which has Kavana, because of what Kodshim is, as opposed to what Chulin is. Chulin could be defined in a purely like mechanical terms, but not Kodshim. He's holding Kodshim, the way the Maisim are defined in the framework of Kodshim has to involve the Das Adam, because Kodshim is the state of Lifnei Hashem. It's like if you fall in the Mikvah, so vis-a-vis so Isser, you'll say, listen, what removes the status of Isser is the mikvah. The water of the mikvah removes the Isser. So she went in the mikvah. What was she thinking? I don't care what she was thinking. The point is there's a state of Isser, and now there's a state of Heter. The state of Isser is created by the bleeding. The state of Heter is created by the water of the mikvah. And that's it. Who cares what she was thinking? It's irrelevant. It's a purely mechanistic thing. So the Maisa creates the Isser is the bleeding. The Maisa which creates the Heter is the mikvah. But it's saying is when it comes to Kodshim, You can't, the Kodshim Kedusha is in the state of Lifnei Hashem, can't be created by a purely mechanical Maisa. But it's created by a Maisa HaAdam of going in the Mikvah, of becoming Tahar. And the maisa has to be defined as the human action of becoming tahar, of pursuing tahara. It must involve the machshavas adam, kavana. And because of the nature of the framework of kodshim, which is tome means you're removed from the fnei Hashem, and tahar means you're roi, making yourself a mukhshar to go to fnei Hashem. So that status, the halacha, had to be constructed in a way which it may not involve the highest philosophical ideas, but it's the action has to be a human action with kavana. So the das adam that he's doing tefillah, not just that why are you able to go to fnei Hashem? Oh well, I fell in the mikvah yesterday. That's not machshir to go to fnei Hashem because I went in the mikvah. I was matayer myself. So the action, the type of actions which are the way the Torah formalizes the system of kodshim, which is based upon the reality of being going before God or not, is the actions which involve kavanas adam. But the type of way the Torah defines actions in the framework of chulin, which is just iser and heter, it's just in terms of the mechanisms, and it doesn't need das adam. As long as the mechanism happens, then it's without the mutter. Similarly, you could say by shlita, you could try to argue, and we're going to get to there. But what makes a meat kosher is that it underwent a certain process. I don't care what you were thinking, whatever. Did it die through so-and-so method? Doesn't matter what you're thinking. But what makes a carbon to be roi l'Hashem is that a person involved it in shlita. That a person is engaging it in a certain process through a das. And it just happens that's not roi for l'fnei Hashem. So in the world of kodshim, which is the world of l'fnei Hashem, the type of formulations, halachic formulations which are selected, are those which involve das adam. But in the framework of Isra Heter, which is more like the mundane world, and the Torah is creating restrictions within that world, so those restrictions could be defined purely formulaically, in terms of Torah and form, and the Maisa, as long as it meets the parameters of what has to be done, if it was slaughtered in the right way, the woman and the mikvah, then it makes it Heter. That the nida, so why is she mutter? But is she nida or she not nida? So it depends. Insofar as Isser and Heter, so she's tahar because she did the mechanism that creates tahara. But insofar as mikdash, she's still tamay or she's not. She still has tumas nida because she means the nature of the framework of kodshim. She the tuma and tahara is like tied in with a gavra, and since she didn't go in the mikvah, she didn't do a ma'isa adam of tefillah, so it's not sufficient to remove her tuma. So there's different frameworks. There's the world of chul and the world of kachem. You can't just say is she a nida or not. There's two nidos. There's two statuses of nida. There's status of nida vis-a-vis mikdash. There's status of nida vis-a-vis her husband. I don't know if this is, we'll see, but shlita by kachem is called zvicha. There's a different word. It's like a slaughter in the framework of, it's the first step of karban. It's not just a mice of shlita. Saying that's a different thing. It's not the same halachos. And we're going to get to shlita. That's what we're going to get to next week as we can transition to that. But for now, we're dealing with. But yeah, there's two shlita. There's a shlita kachem, shlita chulin. There's a tefila of kachem, tefila chulin. There's a nida of kachem. There's a nida of chulin. They're different status, different frameworks. So argues Rav. Apparently, Rav Yochanan, and this is what we have to define. He's saying he is both by chulin and by kachem in kavana. He doesn't differentiate, and that's what we have to try to define that machlokas. How does he argue? And then we have to see how the Gemara, carries it over to the Cholin. To Shechita. Again, here's the thing. I don't think, you may be wondering, that this sounds a little bit philosophical. So I would say is, sort of, but not really. Because I'm just saying is that since the framework of Kodshim is a framework of Fnei Hashem, so the Torah, if you'd say that you have to be thinking about Yichud Hashem while you're going in the mikvah or something, that would be like philosophy. Or you say like there's a psul, we can analyze your philosophical thoughts while you're doing it. But I'm just saying is, look, there's two, like as we saw from the other sugya, there's two types of ways of defining a maisa. You could define a maisa purely mechanistically, or you could define it as a human activity. So the saying is, like a human activity means it's defined that I'm involved in this. So the thing is, in the world of Kodshim, the Torah selected, which is a world of approaching God, the Torah selected the definition of a Maisa, which is in line with the with the philosophy of Kachem. So it's not, but it's a halachic definition. It's just saying is that it's sensible that the Torah chooses that in the framework of Kachem, that's the appropriate formulation to use. Whereas in the framework of Chulin, it's not necessary to use that formulation. So it's like, it could be, it's like based upon, you could just say halachically, Kachem demands a Maisa Adam, and Chulin demands the mechanism, just a purely rigorous mechanism, you know, of going in the mikvah. But it's like, it's not insightful. There's insight into that because you recognize what Kachem is and what Chulin is. So it's like, you could just have the raw technical definition, but it makes sense. So the philosophy gives a sense to the fact that it formulated that way. It's not just an arbitrary thing. It couldn't have been reversed, like by Chulin it demands this, and by Kachem it doesn't make sense. So it's like giving the sense of it, but the sense is explaining why it uses this rigorous formulation here and this rigorous formulation here. So there is a rigorous formulation. You can't just substitute philosophy for a rigorous formulation because you need a formulation. What you were saying is there's a formulation of a Maisa Adam. Of a Maisa Adam means you know what you're doing. Like by Shlita, we said there's a Maisa who is with the government, you're doing Shlita as opposed to the Machinah Shlita emerged from you. Koach Adam. There's a Maisa Adam. The thing is in Kachem, that's what the Gemara Rav is distinguishing, that in Kachem, the Torah demands a Maisa Adam. Whereas by Chulin, it doesn't. You know, we're just saying is it's not arbitrary, and there's a philosophical sense which gives meaning, it gives a sense to that distinction. So it's not, otherwise it's arbitrary. So there's nothing to say that you can't use a philosophy to show what's the sense of why the Torah selected this as opposed to selected that. I mean, that's fine. That's, I think, the place for philosophy in halacha, is when you see, define the halachic mechanisms, and then you say, it's reasonable, it makes sense that the Torah used that formulation because the philosophy, blah, 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 you know, whereas the philosophy can emerge from the halacha. It's one of those, but if you're not giving a good halachic definition, you're just saying philosophy, then you're not doing halacha, you're not defining the halacha. But if you're giving a good halachic definition, but then you say, well, what's the why did the Torah use that definition here as opposed to that definition, and it points you to a philosophical idea, so then it's reasonable. But I guess it's not the definition itself. If you want to be like strict about it, the definition itself is in Kachem, the Torah demands the Maaseh Adam. In Chulin, it demands simply the technical, mechanical action. But then it begs the question, is there any reason for that? Is that, why is it seems arbitrary? So then the philosophy is explaining that. You know, so they're saying it makes sense. It's in line with the philosophy.
It can be an explainer, but you can't, yes. You can't develop the svara based
exactly.
On
right. The svara can't include the formulation, has to be a scientific, rigorous formulation. Exactly.
And after the fact,
further. But I think that's the way to have good philosophy. Like, you could just philosophize about mitzvahs, but I think one way to see the philosophy of a mitzvah is to see the way the Torah formulated it, halachically, rigorous. Get a good halachic formulaic definition, and then you say, that points to that underco. It's interesting. Why is it formulated that way? You know, so it's somewhat speculative, but it could often point you to a good idea. It's not as rigorous as the halacha, but at the same time, sometimes it's like without at least a philosophical sense, a halachic idea becomes like empty and arbitrary. So it could give a, like, arbitrary is nothing wrong with the formulation. It's just like doesn't satisfy the mind. So then it's a purely halachically definition. There's nothing wrong with it. Here it's a din of this type of mice, here it's a din of that type of mice. But the mind is a little bit unsatisfied, and the philosophy could give a sense to it. So that's fine. That is, I mean, presumably, so to speak, God had many different halachic definitions out there, and the ones which are chosen are arguably the ones which are more in line with the objective of the mitzvah, and you know. So that's, For next week, let's try to get the Rabbi of Yochanan, who argues and says Chulin also demands, you know, Das, Kavana, and then jump a little bit to the next page where he goes into, brings up Shchita, ties it into our Sugya. Okay? And after that, I think after that we're going to jump a little bit. So the next case is Shehiyah, the Psil of Shehiyah. Okay? Shiha, waiting in the middle of Shechita. All the different parameters of that.